Well, it's a pleasure for me to be here, but the story I'm going to share is nothing connected to my music. However, next time I hope I'll bring my instruments with me. I've been traveling all my life. The first 15 years of my travels were just joy and happiness. I began traveling when I was 10 years old. My first concert was in Netherlands at the age of 10, and since then I took my music to Japan, to Australia, and other countries in Africa, working with UNICEF, mostly with children, empowering education for girls. So flying and traveling was really fascinating, that I was doing what I love, and as a child that was a dream for me. And not many people from my home country had the opportunity to do that. And I had no fear. I just was looking forward to the next trip each and every time. Going to all continents, learning different languages, connecting with different people. So I started to see myself as a global citizen in so many ways. Until 28th of February 2010, that's when everything changed in many ways. And I had an experience, which is a survivor experience, that after that day, you know, I started to make different choices in many ways. So that was a morning that I woke up like any other day, and I was ready to take my trip to New York to start my tour. And my flight, KLM 562, I believe, was supposed to be at 10 p.m. In Uganda. That's East African time. We got to the airport, and we were told the flight was going to be delayed. Well, here, if a flight is delayed, usually you're told maybe 2 or 3 hours. At home, you're never told that. So the flight can show up 2 days later. And that's true, because nobody knows. So we checked in, and we're all sleeping at the lobby, but I've already called and said bye to everybody. So by midnight, everyone is sleeping, and they all think we are somewhere on the way, flying north. The flight showed up at 6 in the morning. So we're 6 hours at the airport. Everybody was kind of upset, so we checked in and boarded. And the flight got to the highway, the highway, taxiing. Right before takeoff, it slowed down again. And then we kind of felt, if you've been on a plane many times, you realize there's something wrong. So we realized the flight was actually slowing down instead of getting up. So I thought I was dreaming. So he kind of looked through the window. But like one of the storytellers shared here, if you fly over Africa, you don't see anything. You don't see lights. You don't see nothing. So you only, at like 6 a.m., 5:30 in the morning, you almost don't see anything. So you have no idea if the plane is moving or not because it's dark. But we had that feeling that the plane wasn't actually moving. So the pilot announces and says, there was a technical problem, so it's going to turn around. So the plane turned around, went back, but we're not allowed to leave the flight. So we sat there for 2 hours, and we could feel they were fixing stuff underneath the plane. The plane was kind of shaking. There's a lot of handymen at the bottom doing a lot of stuff. So a few people got uncomfortable, so they wanted to leave the plane. But the doors were locked, and there's no way to go out. So we stayed another 2 hours on the plane while it was being fixed. And eventually we were told the flight is safe now to take off. So we went, we took off. Just seconds after the plane left the runway and went into the sky, it started to make this very strange sound. And everybody started to look at each other. It was more scary when the air hostesses were also looking at each other. Yeah, so, and then we were all looking at them. And you know, sometimes when you're flying, you face that way, and the air hostesses face backwards. So I was facing one of them, and the gentleman next to me asked her, "What's wrong with the plane?" She was like, "I don't really know what's wrong with the plane." So if she doesn't know, it was even more scary. So the sound got more intense. It was rattling, and eventually the cabin started to shake. And the plane was still going up. The sound stopped for about 5 minutes. 5 minutes later, it started again, this time more intense. And then about 15 minutes later, we see the co-pilots starting to run through the running backwards, speaking. And the situation was then actually really, really bad. Now, I had been on planes all my life. I had, you know, gone to 40 to 50 countries. So I had been traveling for all my life. But this was an experience I had never expected at all. So at that moment, nobody was speaking to one another. So we could see the speed kind of coming down. And when the plane is taking off, it has to build momentum. So the speedometer has to actually go up. And a few minutes later, we saw a lot of smoke coming from the cockpit into the plane. And at that moment, the pilot announced and said they had a problem with the left engine of the plane. So the plane had to turn around to go back. But actually, the left engine wasn't working at all. I didn't know this until later on. So the plane turned around, and some of the new Airbuses are built where they can do an emergency landing on one engine. So the plane came back. That time we were already crossing into the Sudanese airspace. So came back to Uganda. The plane came down and touched the ground for about 5 seconds and went back up. So it just hit the ground. And that time all the masks were down. I had never seen these things coming down. We only see them on the screen. They show you how they come down. But to see them is more scary. So actually, when the plane touched down, the brakes were not working. And the runway in Entebbe, which is the airport where I come from, is facing the Lake Victoria. So the plane was going right into the water. So the pilot had to power up the plane to take it back up. Now, remember, the engine is not working, and the brakes are not working. So the plane cannot stop. So the plane goes back up, and this time the entire cabin was shaking. So people were screaming and praying, and a lot of people stood up to pick their bags and call their families. And that was about 10 minutes that were really very, very difficult, because at that point, we almost all knew we had no faith that any of us was going to survive. So I was thinking about my parents, my sisters and brothers, and, you know, everything I've been, you know, doing. And you kind of, it's very difficult to see the path to actually death. It's very, very intense. And so the plane went back up, circled around the airport, and the pilot announced she was going to do a second attempt of the emergency landing. The first attempt failed. And this time we could see the fire trucks coming on the runway because the plane had no brakes. So she had to use emergency brakes to stop the plane. So the plane came down. They could not let any of us look outside. So all the windows were closed. The plane just hit the ground and the tires all exploded. And we could feel the pressure of the water from the fire trucks that were on the runway spraying on the airline. And there was this smell of the smoke and all the wheels kind of just all exploded. And there was this kind of fire. And all of a sudden, the plane stopped right in the middle of the runway. So the pilot came off and she was crying, the plane, and we are all led off the airline into the hotel. This is about 10 a.m. Now, my family and my people all think I'm somewhere on the way to Amsterdam by that moment. And so when, after this day, I canceled my trip, I didn't fly again for 6 months, I realized that it was more important for me now to use the rest of the time in my life, to use my music to actually do something good, because I realized that everything I had worked for before that, I could have lost that in just a day. And that time, getting more involved with, you know, social work and working, especially supporting women and children in developing countries, and using my music to actually create, to make you know, other people's lives better, became more meaningful to me. And each and every day that I wake up, I recall this time. So, you know, 2 years after that, I got married. My wife is over there. And now we have a three-year-old daughter. They have been on the planes too. So I had never told this story to her. And I have never shared this story publicly until one time we were speaking about heights. I was with friends and they were talking about being afraid of heights. So this is the worst story to tell someone who's afraid of heights. So we go online, I Google, and I realized there was a group of people from North Carolina who were on that plane that actually shared this story. And I said, you know what? So when I got invited to come here, we had a rehearsal, and we thought it was, you know, very good for me to share this story. And, you know, I'm really grateful for the opportunity. And since that time, you know, my wife and I, she's doing a lot of social work in Uganda, mostly helping women who do bead work and clothes to help them find global markets. So as a family, we use our talents now and our travels to actually do something great. And we're in a very different place. So it's not a sad story. It's a story that helped me to overcome fear and actually use, you know, look into the future with a sense of hope. So thank you very much for listening to me.